the Gospel Wishful Hour.
Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. For 80 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. You are about to listen to another Bible-based lesson with Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour. Starting now.
Dear friends, let's talk about influence. You know, we are all influenced in one way or another, either for good or for bad. And in turn, well, we influence people with our behaviors. In one way or another, we impact the lives of other people, just the same as they impact our lives. Let's agree on something from the very outset. Would you not agree that our influence should be for good? We're going to talk about influence today, and specifically we're going to talk about influence within the home. We appreciate our Jay Webb and his kind introductions, and you'll hear from Jay throughout our broadcast. He'll give you some details about the app for our iPhones or Androids. He'll also talk about some other things, the free offers that we have through our work here at International Gospel Hour. We bid a greeting to all of you. Thank you for your choice to be with us today and to study the Word of God together. The late Wendell Winkler was a beloved brother in Christ and a dear friend. Some years ago, he penned a wonderful study book titled The Christian and His Influence. Chapter 1 was simply titled Influence? Well, you have it. It is a pleasure to reach for that little book and to think once again about influence. Allow me to simply read one point from the first chapter. What is influence? Influence is that moral or spiritual force, power, or capacity by which we have an effect upon a person, condition, or development. Jesus presents this moral force, influence, under the metaphors of light in Matthew 5:14 through 16, salt in Matthew 5:13, leaven in Matthew 13:33, and as epistles, 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. Dear friends, let's consider these texts by way of introduction. For example, as we are looked upon with our influence to be light and salt, this takes us back to Matthew 5, beginning with verse 13, when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." In Matthew 13, in verse 33, speaking of the leaven, Jesus said, another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till it was all leavened." The text from 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3, the Apostle Paul said, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables or tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. You see, the word or our epistle is not written on a tablet of stone, would be the more accurate statement, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. All of these we find the metaphors representing influence, light, salt, leaven, and as epistles. What powerful text to consider. And through the Spirit of the living God, we indeed have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, according to Ephesians 6:17. And that allows us to make our influence the very best it can be. It will change our lives. For as in 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So it is easy to say, dear friends, and most definitely accurate, that the Word of God, as it dwells in our hearts and lives, changes us and helps us to be the influences that we need to be. Let's take this word today and consider the influence of the home. We understand from Ephesians 5 and verse 20 through the end of that chapter that Jesus uses marriage of husband and wife, man and woman, to teach the importance of Christ and the church. But he continues the thought in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, concerning how children are to be obedient and also how parents are to conduct their lives. And one cannot help but to be a better husband and wife by reading Ephesians 5, 20 through the end of the chapter, verse 32. So, dear friends, when we think about influence, let's think about the home for a moment. What goes on inside your four walls of your domain, your house, your apartment, wherever it might be? Influence begins in the home. When you walk out the door, you're going to influence your neighborhood, your workplace, school if that's applicable, even the church where you may attend, even a club of which you may be a part. You will have influence. It is a tremendous impact, and dear friends, it begins in the home. So if we can get the home right and look at the Word of God, let's be better individuals in our home. We'll be better individuals elsewhere. We're going to look at this today, dear friends. We're going to look at the influence of the man, the woman, and the children. But before we do, we want to pause and let you know that the International Gospel Hour app for smartphones is available. Listen to our J-Web of how you can download our app absolutely free.
The International Gospel Hour app is available for your iPhone or Android. Go to the App Store for iPhones and Google Play for your Android. Search International Gospel Hour and download our app absolutely free. You can have access to our website, social media, podcasts, our YouTube channel, and other resources, all by the touch of your finger in the palm of your hand. Please download the International Gospel Hour app today.
Consider the influence of the man, or the father, or the husband, the male figure in a household. Let's think about the influence of the father in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Now, dear friends, we realize this is a command from the Old Testament, but keep in mind what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans concerning the things written aforetime were written for our learning, and through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. We can learn from examples of the Old Testament and apply them in our lives for the good. And we refer back again to Paul's statement in Romans 15:4 for those thoughts. Now, when we think about the word diligently, "you shall teach them diligently to your children," Deuteronomy 6:7, diligently means to put forth an undying effort or 100% to do so continually. This is so important over and over again. The Word of God was everywhere in these texts, and it was everywhere verbally to the family. You will talk of them or shall talk of them. A reminder to yourself as a sign on your hand, frontlets between your eyes, and even present when the father was away, to write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Those are the key places of entrance, and when you would enter or when you would leave, you would see them. I know many individuals, as part of home decoration, and I would also add home declaration, will have certain text painted on the walls of their houses. I have a local restaurant that has several texts and comments throughout the restaurant in their remodeling some time back. Dear friends, these serve as a reminder. These texts serve as a reminder and how beautiful it is to see the influence of the father over the home. Let's think about another father and a husband. How about the jailer in the city of Philippi in Acts 16, beginning with verse 24. Of course, this is where Paul and Silas were imprisoned, and we find them at midnight that they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Look at his influence. In verse 30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It could be said that earlier he pitched them in, and now he's pleading with them without, on the outside. He's facing death, dear friends, and now he longs for life. Their answer was, in verse 31, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and, watch it now, your household. Well, in turn, how are they going to believe unless they would speak the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house? Verse 32. And so he took them, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes. He washed where they had been beaten. He refreshed them. And immediately he and all his family were baptized, verse 33. So part of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is obviously to believe in the teachings of Christ and what he brought forth. After all, they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and how can you believe unless you hear the word of God? Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Do you suppose it's safe to say that he discussed the subject of baptism with them? Without a doubt. He talked about baptism because, after all, did not Christ command that in the Great Commission text of Matthew 28:18-20 and Mark 16:15-16? And so the same hour of the night, he and his family were baptized. And the Bible says in verse 34, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. We bring forth this example of the jailer and his influence as the head of his household. How about another head of a household? And that is the household of Stephanas. In 1 Corinthians 16:15-16, "I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us." I love the statement that says in verse 15 that he or his family were of the first fruits of Achaia. In other words, one of the first converts was this household of Stephanas. And as first fruits, one is begotten by the word of God. We note that from James 1:18 and 1 Peter 1:22-23. I love it when it says that they were devoted, or they had devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Not only were they obedient, but they were quite active in the work of the Lord. The old King James Version uses the word addicted, and that's an accurate term as well. They were addicted or devoted. It was their life. It wasn't a way of life. It was their life. Colossians 3 and verse 4 speaks of Christ, who is our life. And James 1 and verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So let's summarize this from these three heads of households. As in Deuteronomy 6, allow the head of the household, the man, the father, the husband, to be instructed of God. It's got to be first in the life of the father, the husband. It's got to be first to have the great influence that is to be there. Matthew 22, 37 and 38, we are reminded to love God the Father, and we're also reminded to love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Acts 16, they were able to instruct others of their obedience unto God. The power of this jailer who in turn was obedient, and so was all of his household. Yes, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to believe the teaching of Christ. There is no doubt that as they spoke the word of the Lord, again, Acts 16:32, that they discussed repentance, for Jesus commanded it in Luke 13:3-5. They demanded confession, for Jesus commanded it in Matthew 10:32-33. And how did they learn of baptism unless they did hear of the word of the Lord? For the word of the Lord commanded baptism in order to be saved based upon one's faith. Mark 16:15-16 and Matthew 28:18-20. We also note that in Acts 16 that in every language the number 16 will come after the number 2, a little bit down the line. But in Acts chapter 2, they did the same thing. They believed, they repented. We understand through the implication of Christ's teaching of confession, they confessed, and they were baptized upon the day of Pentecost. Same pattern, dear friends. And we need to make certain that our households are obedient to the will of God and they are added to the church that we see in the New Testament. Because when we obey the gospel of Christ, we don't have to be voted in anywhere. We are added to the Lord's church. And in 1 Corinthians 16, we see the instruction on being devoted and faithful to the work of the Lord. To all the men out there, if you're a father, wonderful. If you're a husband, wonderful. If you are a man who is single and in his own place, there is no better pattern. And here is your pattern, dear friends. There is no better pattern before you. And these individuals, these influences, will bring forth a good influence for you and your home. Second, let's consider the influence of the woman, the mother, the wife. I think about countless lessons on the woman, especially on Mother's Day. And you know, dear friends, the power of a woman's influence is amazing. Have you ever heard the saying, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy? How God looked down and saw it was not good for man to be alone, and He created woman? Let's think about the woman's influence in two ways. First of all, how about the negative sense? You know, Solomon's wives in 1 Kings 11, 1 through 4, they were a negative influence in his life. Verse 4 says, "For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to love or to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." How about the influence of Jezebel over Ahab? 1 Kings 21, for example, and how Naboth's vineyard was taken. But later in 1 Kings 21:25, the Bible says, "There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." Oh, think about the demise of Jezebel, that was told, expressed, and declared, and eventually fulfilled, as we note from 2 Kings 9, 35-37. Now, why would I mention these two? Because that's how a powerful influence is, dear friends. Now, let's think about the woman in the positive sense, and there's one text, one chapter, that addresses that beautifully. The influence of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies, Proverbs 31:10. Rubies are revered for their beautiful qualities. They are most valuable. They are extremely strong. They're resistant to scratches. Their color is very stable and won't fade. What a beautiful parallel for the power of that virtuous woman. And when you look throughout Proverbs 31, here are four influences that stand forth. These would be lessons on their own. How about a husband that trusts her? That's verses 11 and 12 and verse 23. I can tell you with a wonderful wife of, at this recording, 33 years, I'm grateful to trust in her and the ease and the strength it gives my heart. How about this woman whose work ethic impacts others' lives? verses 13 and verses 16 through 20 and 24. She has a household that profits, verses 14 and 15, 21 and 22, and 27 and 28. And the Lord that she serves, verses 25 and 29 through 31. You can see her influence all throughout that chapter. We would also mention the power of influence of the woman in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Within that text, in verse 1, it begins with the word likewise that would take us back to chapter 2. Likewise as Christ submitted, chapter 2, 21 through 25. As the slaves submitted, chapter 2, 18 through 20. As we submit to the ordinances and laws of man, chapter 2, 13 through 17. And how we are to submit our lives to the Father above, chapter 2, 1 through 12. Comes into chapter 3, likewise, how the woman should respond in her influence. We note in verses 1 and 2 that she has an evangelistic life by her actions. The husband can be won without the word. I have read on a number of occasions about a wife in a household who won her husband over to Christ because of her dedication and her faithfulness, and how that husband made a great difference in the Lord's kingdom. Not only an evangelistic life by action, but an encouraged life that is adorned by God. That's verses 3 and 4 of 1 Peter 3. Dear friends, the inward life of the Christian is renewed day by day, 2 Corinthians 4:16, and allows the new man to be renewed within, Ephesians 4:22 through 24. And then we note from verses 5 and 6 an edified life by seeing those of the past, other influences that will make a difference. So for the woman, for the mother, the wife of a household, either positive or negative, good friends and ladies, never underestimate your influence. Looking at these examples express that very power. I would submit to you to embrace this one verse in your example, and it will express the influence to God's glory, and that's 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. What a wonderful thought. Dear friends, we're going to pause here as we've been talking about the beauty of God's Word. We're going to pause here and we want you to hear about a wonderful Bible tract we want to send to you absolutely free with no obligation about the Bible. And our J. Webb will tell you all about it.
Friends, we can look at this world and no doubt something is wrong. But did you know the Bible is right? We have a special free booklet we'd like to send you called Something is Wrong, But the Bible is Right. It is an exceptional study that clears away a lot of the confusion in the religious world and lets us see that the Bible is always right. Just call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say Bible Tract. That's it. Again, call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988. And please leave your name, address, and just say Bible Tract. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type Bible Tract in the message box. Another free offer of study from your friends here at International Gospel Hour. Now, back to our study.
Finally, friends, let's consider the influence of the child or the son, the daughter that's in the home. You know, we realize that the effect of influence is not lost on our children. From Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, we understand that as they are to obey their parents in the Lord and to honor their father and mother, that the father has that responsibility upon the child. We see this example also in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, of the influence of the aged men and aged women upon the younger men and the younger women. Now, while that is not speaking specifically of the physical family, the influence is there. In Proverbs 29, 15 through 17, we understand that the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. The correction and the instruction the child is to receive helps them to be the examples they need to be, even then and later. Parallel with this, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 of being an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. The influence of the child makes a great difference in the home, and if it's all blended together, you have an influential home to God's glory. Let's pause, hear a few words about our YouTube channel, and I'll come back and wrap up our broadcast today.
For many years, you've heard us over the air and online, and now we're excited to announce you can see the International Gospel Hour program on our YouTube channel. A new episode is uploaded weekly, and feel free to view our other offerings as well. It is free to subscribe to the International Gospel Hour on YouTube. Again, please take some time to watch the International Gospel Hour on our YouTube channel. And be sure to click the subscribe button while you're there. It's free.
And with that, dear friends, may our study today help your home life to be an influence for God. We'll continue our studies together another time. Thanks for joining me on the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jeff Archie, and keep listening.
God be with you till we...
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God, but second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.